world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
All right, Spencer, you can cut it off. Something's happening. Now, the sad thing is they'll probably ban the first part of that minute 19 or whatever it was, YouTube, because I don't have a license to play it. What a field day for the Heat. 1,000 people in the street. Like, folks, this is, I'm looking here right now. This song by the Buffalo Springfield was written, I'm trying to find the date, what song of that would have been done. It was way back when I was a kid. Hang on with me. I'm looking to see if it tells me here. It doesn't tell me. It doesn't tell me. Whatever year it was. 19, whatever, huh? Well, there's something happening here. Something happening here now. What it is isn't exactly clear. I'm a little bit distracted this morning. Of course, the storms last night distracted everybody up here. Did you guys know this? According to what I've been reading, they're calling it a 500-year event. Now, folks, I don't even know what that means, other than What's happening here in the Midwest is something that would only happen every 500 years. If that's the way I understand it, it's a cataclysmic rain event. I'm not making this up. They said some places are going. Are you sitting down? Some places are going to get 15 inches of rain in the next 4 days. 15. How much is 15 inches? What is this? That's maybe 6 inches. That'd be a little bit more than 15. 15 inches of rain.
That'd be 15 feet of snow, Coach.
that would be 15 feet of snow, right? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And you know, the old Satanist would tell us, as above, so beneath. Is that right, Stephanie? I think of what it is, as above. So there's something going on in the heavenlies. That's all I can tell you. And we can sit down here in America and we can argue all we want. We can argue all we want of whether Trump's a good guy or Trump's a bad guy. We can do all the arguing all we want to about that. I'm just telling you right now, there's something happening here. Now, I'm going to tell you a miracle that we're supposed to go, pull it up here for me, Spencer, real quickly. The number two, the Wisconsin Christian News. So Michelle and I were booked to... We're going to fly out of here this morning at 10:15 this morning to the Wisconsin Christian News event, which is going to be held Friday and Saturday in Wausau, Wisconsin. I hate to fly. I said, Lord, don't make me fly. I don't want to fly, Lord. Please don't make me fly. But I got to fly. So Michelle and I were booked to go out today at about 10:15. We're going to jump on a plane and off we would go. Stay with me. Something's happening here. 1967, Mike said that song came out. Craig, numbers guy. There's a number in there somewhere, Craig. There's a number in there somewhere. So Michelle and I, we booked our flight. I don't want to fly. I got to fly into Chicago. Holy criminy. You guys ever flown into Chicago? I'm seeing myself sitting there for 7 days. It's crazy. But we booked it. We're flying out this morning at 10:15. And last night at 10:15, I could show you on my phone, I got a notice from American Airlines that my flight had been canceled. Last night, as I'm falling asleep in bed, they said, your flight tomorrow morning is canceled. Now, I said, well, how can that be? And then I realized, well, if you look at the weather pattern that's going on, certainly planes are grounded all across America. And the plane that I'm going to get on in Columbus, Ohio, is sitting in Louisiana. Hadn't been able to get you with me? So all of the flight stuff is all screwed up. It's all flight. Something happening here. Hang on. I didn't want to fly. So I get up this morning. My flight was canceled. They told me that at 10:15 last night. And I go online this morning to book a flight because we got to get there. We're part of this event. And I can't book a flight. I can't book it. It keeps kicking it back and kicking it back. I cannot rebook a flight. Something's happening here. And I'm griping and moaning to myself. And then Michelle comes walking out of the bedroom, getting her morning cup of coffee. And Betty calls her. She calls Betty. I don't know what it is. You guys know Betty Perkins. Betty's lives on the far west east side of Ohio. She's driving up to Wisconsin, and she calls and says, "Hey, do you guys want to ride with me? What? You want to ride with me? I'm renting a car. You understand? I'm renting a car for a 10-hour drive." And she said, "I'm just 30 minutes up the road. I'll be glad to come by and get you." So Betty's upstairs. Michelle and I are going to jump after the show's over. Michelle and I are going to jump in the car. We're going to drive with Betty to Wausau, Wisconsin, and I don't have to sit in that stinking airport. Now, I don't know what you guys think. I think that was a God wink. Who's right? Betty's here. I think it was a God wink, right? I didn't want to get on a plane. I don't really want to have to spend the money to rent a car and drive. I didn't want to do any of that. And Betty's standing right here. That's pretty amazing, I think. And see, we can argue all we want to about, is God real, and why does God let this happen, and why does God let that happen? I don't have an answer for you, but I want to just acknowledge, because I know God knows. I just want to acknowledge a miracle, Lord. I know that you're in this, whatever it is. I know you're in it, and. Sure. Thing? Come on in here, Betty. Betty's into my, she snuck down into my multi-million-dollar studio here. Slide over here a little bit, Betty, because they can't see.
Well, I won't stay long. I'm going to be with Miss.
See, here's where you will be. How come Betty's not in the screen?
That's
Spencer?
Okay. But anyway, it was funny. I was praying and saying that, Lord, should I go to Columbus or should I go to Cleveland? I normally take Cleveland trip. God says you're going to Columbus today.
Is that something?
Yeah. And I was up at 2:30 and then the weather made me stop. And the weather was horrible. So I ended up couldn't leave till 4:30. So God has a way of doing things.
God has a way of doing things. And so Betty is normally going to go up north to Cleveland, didn't decide to go the other way. And as a result of it, she's only 30 minutes away from me when I found out my flight's canceled. I can't get a crazy. Something happening here. There's something happening here. What? Thanks, Betty. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Hey, listen, we got a new action. I'm all over the place this morning. Sorry, I've been distracted all day. there's my green screen. Spencer, do that again so people see this. Show them that. See, folks, what? I don't have a stadium behind me. I got a little cardboard green screen that you can flash anything up there. Makes me look like I'm in a stadium. Makes me look like I'm in a multi-million-dollar studio. So Terry Ladrick put that together. God bless Terry Ladrick. He went on to be the Lord. Okay. So we got a new action. Right now, who's going to read this for me? Who's going to read it for me? Spencer, scroll down. Our new 21-day of intercession for God's will. Craig did a great teaching on that yesterday. I don't know about you guys. He had my head spinning a little bit about what's going on with Nissan and all that kind of stuff. But, I don't know about you guys. That's pretty profound yesterday, I thought. And you know what? You know what I realized? I don't know nothing. I really don't know nothing. Regarding the Bible, I really don't know anything. I think most of us, if we would be honest and we would confess it, we really don't know anything. As I've said over and over and over and over and over, we only know what somebody else has taught us. And what if they lied to us? That's why you get into what they call conspiracy theories, right? We're finding out right now. I was reading something the other day. They said that viruses don't really exist. They don't really exist. And the cancer isn't any more than parasites that nest like honeybees when they get inside of them. That's why they grow and why it spread. A lot of stuff that science has taught. Listen now, it's old science, right? It's old science. So you think about just cancer. How long have we been studying cancer? When did cancer, Spencer, there's a great one for you. Hang on, Eileen, I'll get to you. Google, when did cancer first appear? Or when was cancer discovered? See what it says. Cancer. People, I remember when I first heard the first time somebody got cancer, my mom was telling me, oh, she has cancer. What? Huh? The history of cancer describes the development of the field of oncology and its role in the history of medicine. Wow. The earliest known written description of cancers date back to ancient. I don't believe that. I don't think my great grandfather's generation. I'm all over the place. Stay with me a second. I don't think my great great grandfather's generation was dealing with cancer. I don't. See, look at this on Wikipedia. Wouldn't this be a great study to do? What is cancer? What is cancer? And you mean to tell me as long as we've been studying cancer, we don't know what causes it? Tell me you're not that stupid. We know what causes it. Listen, sick people make money for the medical system. Not healthy people. Sick people. They need people sick. Millions say, Coach, they wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Until we begin to look at things from that perspective, we're not going to understand what's going on. I said, we were on that new action, weren't we? I'm sorry, Spencer. Let's go back to new action. We need somebody out there who's going to read for us. We read Psalm 2 yesterday. And today we're going to read Psalms. Scroll down, Spencer. Eileen, come on in. Let me get you in here. Go ahead, Eileen.
I was just volunteering to read.
Okay. Oh, great. All right. We're going to read today. We started yesterday with Psalm 2, and today we're going to read Psalm 3. So hang on. Lord, you told us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not man-made. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds. And Lord, we confess to you today that for the most part, we have sat in church and we don't even understand the supernatural anymore, how it operates. We are woefully ignorant. In fact, you told us in your word that your people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We don't get it. So Lord, we come to you today, as much as we don't get it, we know you do. And Father, we just ask that you would walk us through this, something happening here, that you would make it clear as we walk through this valley of this shadow of death that's in front of us. It's all around us, Lord. And Lord, speaking for myself, I don't pray for an evacuation. Lord, this is game time. Don't take me out. Lord, don't take me out. Help me to engage. Help me to stand up and fight back and expand the kingdom of God for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Eileen, it's on the screen there.
Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me?
Amen on that one. Go ahead, Eileen. I'm just going to act like I'm here alone and oh, amen every now and then. You just keep going.
That's okay. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head.
Boom!
I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about.
Amen.
Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Mm. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah.
Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness, my goodness, oh my goodness. If we could just understand it. If we could just understand it. Lord, do a mighty work in our midst. Hey, I got to throw this up there real quick, just because number two, if you could, we're great event going on at the Wisconsin Christian News. Rob Pugh's put together a great event, and I believe I'm looking for it. Rob, help me out here. I believe there's live streaming. It's got to be live stream. If not, folks, if you can't go, just send Rob an offering, because I know he's maybe overextended on some of these things. And I want you to notice that he's got some really, really good. Here's what I want all of you to see out there. He doesn't have too many speakers. He doesn't have too many. He has Pastor Art and Pawlowski from Canada. He got in trouble in Canada. And he's going to give him an hour to speak, and there'll be some downtime. And Ted Brower will probably get an hour, and then there'll be some downtime. And then Matt Tuella will get to speak, and there'll be some downtime. And Don Wolf will speak, and Scott Shire will speak, Pastor Butch Paul, they'll all speak, and then they'll be down. There's great time for fellowship and to actually get to talk to these people. And sometimes when we put programs together, and I'm guilty of it, I'm thinking about our annual event coming up here. I'm going to have less teachers and more from you. Because I think deep inside, many of you who are looking at me right now, God has really deposited something in a lot of you, and you don't really have a place to vent it, to let it out. You don't. And so I want you to know that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and the same spirit that speaks to me and Matt Tuella and Scott Shara, that same spirit, I believe, is speaking to many of you. And nobody has ever told you it's okay for you to hear. Not only is it okay for you to hear, it's okay for you to obey. Not only is it okay for you to obey, it's okay for you to do it. You don't need somebody's approval. Now, we do know this, that the Lord doesn't send them out. He sends them out two by two. He doesn't send them out by themselves. So that's important. But whatever he says unto you, do. I returned yesterday for the first time in quite a while to the abortion clinic. There's a move going on. Mark Harrington put together an event yesterday at the... I should have had all this up for you. I'm going to show you what's going on. Folks, we're on the verge right now of defunding Planned Parenthood. Defunding Planned Parenthood. I'm going to say that real slow. The American government gives literally millions and millions of dollars to fund, pay for, expand the slaughter of unborn children. And even though the Supreme Court ruled that there's a right to murder your own baby, there ain't no right to make me have to pay for it. And so that's right, Paul. Let's make abortion murder again. I ought to get a shirt made on that. Make abortion murder again. And so the tactic that Mark Harrington and some of them are taking, which I think is great, is now to bring pressure on our elected officials. Stop funding Planned Parenthood. Can anybody explain to me why our government would pay to kill children? Can anybody put that together for me? Why they would? Okay, so the government says you can do it, but then they pay for it. They take tax dollars from me and every one of you, and they pay Planned Parenthood. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, see if you can find how much money is Planned Parenthood getting, government money? That'd be something to turn Elon Musk loose on, wouldn't it? Huh? What do you think Planned Parenthood's? By the way, they charge for the abortion. We'll say it again. They charge for the abortion. Why is Planned Parenthood getting all this government money? Planned Parenthood, how much? 40% of Planned Parenthood revenue comes from government reimbursements and grants. 40%. 40%. Look at that. Are you ready? $1.29 billion total revenue. $553 million of it came from the government. Do you see this?
Double dipping.
Double dipping. Now, here's what I want to know, Johnny. Where's all that money gone? Because it ain't going to kill the babies. They're giving the money to the Planned Parenthood, and what are they doing with it? The remainder of the revenue came from 27% of the revenue came from donations, and the patient's fees came from 24% of it. Yeah, Craig, they're selling body parts. Folks, it's even worse than that. This money, as Doge is showing us, is being filtered all throughout places that we don't even know. So we showed up yesterday and we prayed against it, and it was great. I should have sent you some pictures, Spencer. I didn't. Spencer, go to my Facebook page real quick. I want you all to see this because this is so critical, I think. Spencer's good. He'll get to my face. Yesterday, I was with my grandbaby. Scroll on down, brother. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going. I look fat there. Keep going. That's good. Keep going. Wait a minute. What was that? Go back there. No, that's not. Don't do that. That's unbelievable. They show you stoning this guy. Go ahead. Look at, hey, stop, man. Spencer, go back. Look at the hailstones yesterday. Can you explain? Folks, it was as big as golf balls yesterday. That's my backyard. Those are hailstones. Something's happening here. Something's happening here. Can you make that picture bigger, Spencer, so they can see how big they were? It was amazing. Look at those things. Hailstones. Something's happening here. Okay, go back. I'm sorry. I'm going to show you something. There we were yesterday at Planned Parenthood. Keep going. We'll show you another picture. Holding signs. Look at that. They're my grandbabies. Those are my grandbabies. Teaching our grandbabies to fight back against death. Training the next generation of pro-life warriors. Let's get them in the game. My grandkids, they don't even understand what abortion is, but they know it's killing the baby, and they know that God ain't for that. And that was just me. I did a video yesterday. Okay, get it off of there. Look, folks, I'm shooting from 1,000 different directions with me today, right? And here's the theme. We need you to get involved. We need you to get involved. Okay? Anybody want to say anything real quick? I don't want to change subjects. I want to keep going, but anybody want to amen anything? Right now, before I move on, because I want to show you something here.
Just want to give your family a boom, Coach.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Danny. It was so awesome yesterday for me to be there. Our daughter Abby showed up on her own, and she brought her children. Just bless my heart that they'd want to come and be there. They want to come. Okay, I want to show you something here. Did I say? Go to number three, quickly. This last weekend, we went also, Tom Dunn did his Strangeland Conference. Folks, they're streaming. There's so much great information that you can purchase the streaming. And then you have like a month. I don't know how. You got a long time to watch the presentations. It is really, really good. If you want to get some information about what's going on spiritually, what's happening, Strangeland was a great presentation. And I think it's for $49. I don't know what it is. You can stream it. You can stream it and you can watch it and by the way, even if you can't stream it, even if you $54, just support Tom, will you? Oh, wait a minute. There it is. $43. Just support his work. Just support him. Support him. Golly. You guys know it takes money to do stuff. I got another announcement. I'm not writing down. Boy, I've taken up 24 minutes already. All right. Can I show you what happened to us? Let me show you what happened to us. Lord, where do you want me to start here? Start with, where is it? Paul, start with number five. Trust but verify. You guys know how I feel about President Trump. I like JP. Take it about the 1 minute and 30-second mark. Going back farther. I have great angst. Keep going, right there. I have great angst. The Donald Trump's spiritual advisor is Paula White. I'm sorry. I have great angst. I maybe even overlooked that work up. Huh? I'm glad he has a spiritual advisor. But who can say it better than JP?
Don't be sorry, Dave.
What's that?
Don't be sorry.
Okay, thanks, Mark. I got my antenna up, right? JP just kind of nailed it yesterday. So go ahead and play it from there, just a minute or so.
Amount of Botox is making this promise to you. She cares so much about you and your relationship with God that she'll tell you if you donate $1,000 to her. It's the nonprofit, but sure. If you donate $1,000 to her, God will unlock 7 supernatural blessings for you. Will he just unlock them if I pray and don't donate? He will absolutely not. He will not unlock blessings for you if you don't donate to me. Now, this lady allegedly is a White House spiritual advisor. Her name is Paula White, and she has a very inspiring message coming up for Easter. How would you like to unlock 7 supernatural blessings for $1,000? I mean, this has a normal retail price of $9,000. And normally, the biggest we discount is $5,000. But for today, and today only, your 7 supernatural blessings are all yours for $1,000. Wow, I used to think prayer was free. You just have to have an intentional relationship with God. No, dumbass. This prayer is $1,000. They're not 7 blessings. They're 7 supernatural blessings. What are they? Stay tuned to find out, because we're going to hear it from the Botox lady's face.
I believe that when you honor God on Passover, starting on April 12th at sundown through Good Friday on the 18th and concluding on Easter Sunday, you can receive these 7 supernatural blessings.
Yeah.
For you and your house.
Wait, this is sales pitch.
Okay, take it off.
Jen mentioned 1,000.
Take it off, huh? Hey, folks, are you looking at me? This is more relevant in most churches than you even understand. It is. I'm telling you, this is going on, baby. This is going on all across. Okay, you say you don't believe it? Bring up number four. By the way, when I got saved, my wife and I, we got saved back in 1988. I think it was 88. We fell into one of these name it, claim it, prosperity gospel churches. The gospel was in there, but the purpose of the gospel was for me to get rich so I could get stuff. The God just couldn't wait to bless me, and there were just certain things that I had to unlock, and if I just unlocked those certain things, then these blessings would flow. And now, friends, it's not that God doesn't want to bless us, because he does want to bless us, but it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Why do we see money as blessings? Isn't health blessings? Isn't our children coming to Christ blessings? How come we're not given $1,000 to see Christ return to our schools? Let's do that. I'm going to say that. Send in $1,000 here and God will restore prayer back into our schools. Yeah, maybe that's the ticket. Maybe that's what I ought to do. So I found this. Sorry. Maybe not so popular anymore, but popular 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And so people were sitting home watching satellite TV and they feel an anointing of the Lord. Say, yeah, I want to be like him. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like that pastor. That's what I want to do. Go ahead and play.
Hallelujah. This is your week. This is it. It's over. This is it. I declare, I decree this.
Hang on. Now, I want you to watch this. I want you to ask yourself, this is the fruit of the modern day church. See if these people would be excited that he was announcing that everybody in here, we're going to go into the inner city and we are going to get people saved. Would they be all rejoicing? No. They're rejoicing over money. Go ahead.
Is it money coming to me now? Money coming to me now? Money. Yeah.
Hang on. You notice they're not praying for salvations. You're not praying that, hey, if they said they'd give $1,000 and your children would be saved, that'd be a reason to do it, wouldn't it? Huh? If they gave $1,000 and homosexuality would be destroyed, that'd be a reason to do it, right? No. They're training us in churches that God is your butler. And all you got to do is name it and claim it, and money cometh. We're living the fruit of this right now, folks. We're living the fruit of this. Go on, just pray another minute or so.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm coming out. Today. Look at Job 36. Quickly. Woo! Glory to God. Hey, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. This is my day. Tell somebody, this is my day. Goodbye, Bills. Bye-bye, chicken. I'm going to fly with the eagle. Woo!
Freeze up. Go back there a second. What was that scripture? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. In other words, maybe one of us. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy money's sake. Okay, you can get that off. Made my point. You can get it off. This is what we're dealing with, friends.
Well, Dave, he said the quiet part out loud. He did say the truth. He said, money for me. This is my day. He's talking about himself.
Yeah, that's right. Rather than dying to self, right? Lord, open doors for me to minister. Lord, help me get people. No, money. And notice how excited the people are, right? It's look, I know I'm already.
Hey, Coach.
I'm all over the place. Let me throw this up here. I just want to open your eyes to what we're dealing with. Because if we don't understand what we're dealing with, friends, pull up a Spencer number 9. And then after this, I promise I'm going to show. I got more good stuff. I came across this yesterday. 10 reasons people like weak pastors. Huh? Remember, the Bible says, silly women heaping up, having itching ears. The women want to hear, their ears itch. They want to hear good news. They want to hear prosperity. Their ears itch. So what? So they get weak men to feed them. 10 reasons people like weak pastors. Number one, they don't say anything embarrassing. Number two, they never say anything convicting. Number three, they don't say anything definitely. In other words, God hates sin. Huh? That is an abomination. They never say that stuff. That's an abomination, right? For the time is coming when men shall not endure sound teaching. Number four, they don't have to worry when they tell their non-Christian friends where they go to church. I gotta tell you this. Can I tell you this is awesome? I walked into the bank yesterday. I'm coming back to this. Hang on. Michelle, listen to this. I told Michelle, Betty, listen. I walked into my local bank yesterday. Got my cross hat on. Small town. We're a small town. And I walk in there, and there's two tellers. One is sitting there looking at me, and the other is just kind of sitting there. And I'm trying to figure which teller to go see. Stay with me. And finally, I chose this teller. And I could tell this one was kind of disappointed. I don't know why. And so I walked over, and I'm making my deposit, and got my cross out. I'm starting a conversation. And this other teller gets up and walks over, and she leans against the two tellers looking at me. And she said to her friends, you have got to watch this man's show. I about fell over. She said, you want to know what's going on and you want to understand how the devil is working. You have got to watch this man's show. She went on about Coach Dave. Folks, it was one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I didn't even know what to say. But it inspired me. It was a shot of adrenaline in me saying, Coach, it matters. It does matter. Keep doing it. Because they're looking and hearing where you don't even know. So you don't have to tell your Christian friends that you watch Coach Dave live. You don't have to tell them, huh? Because if they come here, you guys know this. Some of them, you told some of your people to come here. Ooh, oh, he said that against the Jews. You get it. Number five, they can't relax when they make their woke college-age kid go to church with them that one weekend when he or she comes home. In other words, sadly, many of us have, who are ministering the gospel, we have prodigals. Prodigals. And it's shameful. How many of you want to admit out there that you love the Lord and your children don't? That's shameful, especially as a pastor. Number six, there's zero. This is why people, this is why pastors preach weak sermons. There are zero expectations that anything said on Sunday needs to be remembered or acted upon once the service is over. Is that it? Most times when you leave church, can you remember what the pastor talked about? That's why when they asked me the other night how to go, or I always tell my wife, I don't know if they heard it, but they felt it. Number seven, you get to learn a whole new version of the Bible. Number eight, you can feel like a Christian without ever having to submit to Christ. 10 reasons why pastors preach weak sermons. You can feel like a Christian without ever having to submit to Christ. Number nine. Hang on, right above it. Matthew 16:23. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Ain't much of that going on, is there, boys and girls? Number nine, you can, if he keeps telling us soft sermons, you can vote for any baby killing, child transing, freedom stealing, corrupt politician you want, and not have to worry about whether it was right or wrong.
Boom.
And number 10, if you don't like something he says, you can just threaten to leave and he'll back down. That's why they were shocked the other night when I said, hey, if you're pro-choice, get out of here. Vinny, come on in.
Well, you know what it is, Coach. People don't, they don't want to conceive of the concept of acceptable sacrifices. Because remember, Terry Schiavo was an acceptable sacrifice.
It was.
But I got a question. Why wasn't Brian Thompson the CEO of United Healthcare? How come they're hemming and hawing over this guy being murdered, considering what he did to people? He's a serial torturer.
Folks, you understand what Vinny's saying? The guy who was shot down. Look, we're not for the guy getting murdered.
Right.
But the reality of it is, he was making life and death decisions for money, wasn't he, Vinny? Isn't that what United Healthcare does?
Exactly.
They either approve your surgery or don't approve your surgery. Huh? But we don't want to say that kind of stuff because it sounds too harsh. But unless we speak up, Jesus said we'd be hated of all men, not loved of all men, not the most popular guy on the street. No, you're going to be hated. They're going to hate you if you speak the truth. Do you think I want to make people hate me? Why would I want to do that? Because he said they hated me first. He said that. They hated me first. He didn't say they loved me. They hated me. I don't want to be hated, but there's something about speaking the truth that makes you hate it. Dale, come on in.
Well, Coach, God has spoken to his people. I'm being facetious here. And I put in the chat, it's not that you have to show it, but the reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet, because our dear beloved brother, Jesse Duplantis, said, is because the church isn't giving enough money.
Oh! You mean if we all chipped in a little bit more, he would come back?
I think there's a little bit more to it, Coach. I don't think it's just about giving a little bit more. I think it's specifically if we give it to Jesse, he'll come back.
Spencer, can you pull that up there? It's in the chat from Dale 732. So if I give money to Jesse, I can't give money to my church. Well, you can't give money to Coach Dave Live. That won't work. But if you give money to Jesse, okay, let's see what Jesse says.
I honestly believe this. That the reason why Jesus hadn't come is because people are not giving the way God told them to give. You see what I'm saying? Wow. I mean, when you understand it, you can speed up the time. I was on television. He said, I heard you was a millionaire. I said, that's not right. that's not true. He said, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not. Multi. Now, add that to it, and you'll be all right. Oh, he couldn't handle that. He'd like to have had a fit. And I said, you mess with me, I'll buy this station, and I'll fire you. Yeah. Oh, he didn't like that, did he? Didn't. You know, that was a little fleshy, but it felt good. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Just did. You know what I'm not saying? Yeah, yeah. So I realized that I will not move people emotionally to give.
Right.
You know what? You know what's the sad thing is? You know what's the sad thing is in our society and our culture? Dale Sosh is 10 times the man that guy right there is. And this guy continues to draw people and draw people and draw people and draw people and draw people. And Dale Sosh, and I could rattle off some other names. The guy's just out there just faithfully doing everything he can to try to expand the kingdom of God. And people are running to these kind of guys. Mega churches are filling up because there's no accountability in mega churches. You say, well, my church has got 7 campuses. Does it really? Does the pastor know who you are? Bible says the sheep know my voice, hear my voice. Does the pastor hear you? Does the pastor know you? Okay, what? Oh, I'm stepping on some toes. Sorry. Thanks for that, Dale. Thanks for that. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach, I was going to say,
morning, Tom.
Dale's not even in the same thing with Jesse. I think you can't even put 10 times the pastor because he's in a different whole realm of him. So it's not even a good thing to even put him in that category of him.
So Tom, would he be a successful pastor because he's got a big show and a big following? Would that make him a successful pastor?
Well, that's what it says, a profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his soul. Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And so that's the thing of where in my heart too, it's a thing of, yeah, in this life, you know, we shall face different things, but we'll have to give an account. And that's the accounting, you know, a lot of people think it's the bank accounting or the gold accounting or what accounting, but it's the accounting that every word spoken will have to give an account. And that's a scary thing.
Amen. Amen. Listen, Jesus said that Jesus laid down his life. He tells us to follow him, come do the same thing. And that's hard to do, isn't it, friends? That's hard to do. Let's be honest. It's hard to do, man. To die to yourself. Phew, that's hard. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. You know, I think the reason people will flock to these type of pastors, it's kind of the same reason. It's easier to pay money. Look, just give some money. It's way easier just to give some money than to actually go and do anything for your Lord.
That's right.
All right. It's the same with doctors. It's easier for, hey, doctor, you fix me. I don't want to be responsible for the crap I'm putting in my body that's causing all of these ailments. People love the easy lie because as long as somebody else is telling them, they feel vindicated. Oh, that really is the truth.
Yep.
So, for
feels
example,
good, man. Feels good. Conviction doesn't feel good.
Conviction does not feel good. That's the whole thing. It's too hard for people to feel convicted and actually say they're sorry and that they were wrong. They don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
They want to get into heaven any other way possible. They're not going to be sorry for what they've done because they weren't wrong. It wasn't their fault. See, that's how they think. They can't get, just like putting that stuff in their mouth is affecting their body. They don't want the truth. They want the doctor to say, oh, you've got cancer and it's genetics. There was nothing you could have done.
Amen, 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 amen.
Okay, and then they're a victim and it's out of their hands and out of their control.
Amen, amen. Name not available. I think that's Betty. Come on in, Betty.
Yeah, it is me. I was going to say so many churches are sissified and Rochelle's right. You know, they are. I tell you what, they think if they can pay their way, they're going to go to heaven. And it is just doesn't work that way. And this morning, about on the way over here, I started talking to a young man. He loved the Lord, so I gave him a challenge coin. I prayed over him. And then I gave him your card. So you might have a new follower. But I told him that, hey, this man speaks truth. He yells. And that's what I love about him. He yells. He wakes me up every morning. He yells. But he has people on there that are pastors that like Pastor Dale, Pastor Clint, Pastor Payne, Pastor, you know, and other people who are so knowledgeable. But I said, you will learn your Bibles and you will learn the truth and you will learn the news and you will be more updated than CNN.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Betty. Hey, listen, I'm gonna switch gears real quick, but I'm gonna throw something out at you before I do. I'm gonna ask some of you. Look, there's a lot of you listening here, right? And you can think I'm a shyster or not. It doesn't really matter. I know what I do. I know what we do. What Michelle and I do with our ministry. I understand that. David Arthur has a great need. Now I know he's going to Wisconsin this weekend. He don't have the money to go. I know he doesn't. We've supported him, given him some. And I know some of you out there say, oh, well, you know, golly, after what he did before, well, I understand. I understand. Now I just ask some of you out there, 20 of you out there, 20 of you out there to give $50. It's not a lot. That we could raise $1,000 to fund David's trip, because I believe that it is crap or get off the pot time for David, and I want to invest in his salvation. If he falls again, as I said before, Alexander the Coppersmith has done us great harm. I want to help restore the guy. I believe the message he has is needed and of the Lord. And yes, I have my eye on him. But Pass the Salt Ministries is going to invest in his ministry and keep an eye on him closely. And if 20 of you would give $50, that'd be $1,000 for him. Jeff, go ahead.
Coach, you know, I've talked to David a lot. Had another conversation with him yesterday. Had another one this morning already. We're staying in close contact. I told David, I said, David, I've known you since 11 years ago when you left Wisconsin and come to Ohio. You lived there at my house for a while. I know him like a brother. So I told David, you know, and I've been helping him a little bit here with some cash lately. I said, David, here's what I'm going to do. Instead of giving church money to the church, I'm just going to send you monthly something. Just to help bills keep going. You know what I mean? I'm going to send it every month, whether it be $100, just something. You know what I mean? Help him out, and so
yep.
I mean, we'll all hold him accountable. All
trust but verify.
Iron, he needs brothers around him. So
amen, amen, amen. So I'm on a life saving mission here, and if he drowns again, that'll be of his own. Okay, I don't know why I said about that. It's important. Okay, I want to switch gears here real quickly. Okay, Spencer, pull up Obama Exposed. Folks, evil men have crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And I came across this yesterday. I've been telling everybody who will listen that the mess that we are in right now can be traced back to a fraudulent birth certificate. About over and over and over, I'm telling people that that's where this began, right? So I want to read this. I don't know who wrote this, but I saw it and I thought, oh my goodness. Those just exposed Obama and Biden's massive money laundering scheme. Folks, trillions stolen through USAID, FEMA, USDA to fund Antifa riots and globalist wars. Now, wait a minute, stop. You know what's really, really unbelievable? Not only is the devil killing unborn children, he's making Christians pay for it. The global elites are losing their grip and they know it. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. See, their system of corruption, rigged elections, endless wars, psychological manipulation, it's coming apart. It's coming apart. And what exposed it all? Doge. Now, hang on. I don't care if you like Trump. I don't care if you like Elon. I don't care. And about that, for decades, Democrats, see, I hate to, folks, don't fall into the Democrat-Republican trap. Don't fall into that trap. Please don't fall into that trap. Republicans are equally corrupt. Democrats are just more blatant with it. For decades, the politicians have been running a shadow cartel, stealing trillions of taxpayers' dollars, funneling them through government agencies designed as foreign aid to disaster relief. USAID, FEMA, blah, 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 blah. They're not just bureaucracies. They're financial weapons used to fund the globalist empire. But their arrogance has caught up with them. Folks, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Thanks to Doge, their entire empire is collapsing. Friends, have you noticed how actively involved the judges are getting? The judges are trying to stop the expose of the wicked West. The Democrat regime, the political regime, is a criminal enterprise masquerading as government. The politicians are not a political group. It's a criminal syndicate. For decades, the politicians and every institution, I'm sorry, for decades, they've infiltrated every institution to control America. Both sides, folks. They're dismantling the economy, outsourcing industries, destroying the middle class, DEI, CRT. They were never about unity. They were weapons to tear America apart while the elitists continued their theft. Money laundering, digital looting, the Clinton death trail, follow the money. And the truth reveals itself. The aid package, a lie. Disaster relief funds, a front. The billions of social programs, a slush fund for their operations. Anyone who gets too close to the truth, well, they end up dead. You notice that? Whistleblowers silenced, investigators suicided, journalists erased. The Clinton body count isn't a myth, folks. It's a message. DOGE wasn't a joke. DOGE is a ticking time bomb. Well, they laughed at DOGE. They thought it was just a meme. But DOGE has exposed them. Through its decentralized system, DOGE pulled back the curtain on the vast money laundering operation. Leaks started, and the elites scrambled to cover their tracks. DOGE revealed the financial fraud behind the global war on America. Now, hang on a minute, folks. Where is all that Planned Parenthood money going? Where is it going? Now, look, we know they're selling body parts. We know all that stuff. But where are the billions of dollars being given to Planned Parenthood? Who is that money going to? This is the radical left's last stand. Something's happening here. The Democratic Party's falling apart. Really, both of them are. They're panicking. Antifa, BLM, radical leftist groups have always been controlled opposition, ready to create chaos when needed. So now they're activated. That's why Tesla dealers are being attacked. Hey, hang on, folks. Aren't the lefties supposed to like Tesla because it's good on energy? Aren't they for Teslas? But now they're Teslaing. They're attacking Tesla dealerships. Why Republican towns are being disrupted? Why Trump is under constant assault? Because the globalists fear, not Trump. They don't fear Trump. They fear what he represents. The awakening of the American people. The awakening of the church. So the final battle's begun. The elites are preparing their last card, economic collapse. They want to break the pot people with inflation, digital ID, centralized banking. But they're not going to win. The exposure of their crimes through DOGE is only beginning. The truth is coming, and when it hits, their entire corrupt system will crumble. Hey, friends, are you looking at me a second? The IRS doesn't need your money. The IRS takes your money to keep you in bondage and fear. They just print money. They don't need your money. They don't need your money. They're scaring you. They're printing money left and right. Money's meaningless, but they got you in shackles. See, this isn't just about politics. It's about survival. It's about reclaiming America from the criminals who've hijacked it. Truth can't be stopped. Final battle. It's here.
Boom.
It's our time now, baby. Huh? It's now or never. It's now or never. I'm going to say this again as slowly as I can. I don't trust Donald Trump. Do you hear me? But God is using him. What are God's people going to do with what Elon Musk is exposing? Why is the American church going to sit back and wait for the government to do something about it? Why aren't Christians already in the streets over what's going on? Why do we think Donald Trump is going to make everything right? As always, truth lies in the belly of the church. Will the church arise or will the church not? Man, I'm about out of time. I can't believe it. Come on in, Jeff.
You know, Coach, them Democrats, every city all over America, they're out on the street corners, them signs. They're growing up there on the public square, Mount Vernon.
Yeah. Because why? They're desperate. They're desperate. Point number 7. I want to end up with number 7. Here's something to pray for. General Flynn. Sorry, folks. I thought we had it ready to go here.
On X, or posted on X, that you know of Jim Comey's involvement in not only trying to kill you, I believe is what you said, but also his involvement with the attempted assassinations on our president. Can you go deeper on that? Can you tell us more about that, about what you know and how you know it?
Sure. I mean, those weren't the exact words, but I mean, where we're at is we are at a place where there have been two attempts that have been public, right? Two attempts that we all know about, the one in Pennsylvania and then the one down in Florida, assassination attempts against the president of the United States. You know, and more will come out about those. You can tell. I mean, there's not a lot to talk about these, right? I mean, but how they were set up, what's happening, more information is going to come out about those and how they were set up, who was involved. You know, I would just say that, and those are what is public. One of the things that we do have to pray for is the safety and security of President Donald J. Trump going forward. I mean, he's a very, very historic figure. We have a system in place that takes over. But boy, I'll tell you, you know, because of where we are globally, and there is a globalist institution made up of people, Comey really is just a soldier. Barack Obama is a soldier, but he's a higher up in the ranks. Guys like John Brennan is a soldier. He's probably a little bit higher up in the ranks, and they give him a little bit more authority to do the things that need to be done because of where he sits on the outside of a giant security system. But these are soldiers. The real threats are the people that are sort of running this sort of globalist group. And this is not a conspiracy. These are people that are well known. I mean, start with the World Economic Forum and work your way down. Start with George Soros. George, the banking, I just throw out one thing. The banking system in Ukraine is run by Soros. I mean, it's run by Soros. And there's no doubt about that. There's filings in court cases right now that prove that out. So we are in an interesting period of time. President Trump has got to stand strong. He's got to maintain his own humility too. And I think that's important. And he does that in his own way. And I think that for the American people need to stay very switched on and very adaptive to what might come.
Comey is going to jail. Folks, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. What a time to be alive. See you tomorrow.